So you guys ready for Thanksgiving? Everybody got their turkey bought. Some of them's probably laying their turkeys out today so they'll thaw and get ready. And if the shoe boxes, if you're like, oh, I forgot mine at the house, after this service, you can run home and get it real quick because they'll start loading them after third service today after the service is over. They'll get those out of here and deliver those today. We've got a lot returned as of today, so let's get the rest of them in. I think we had 400 boxes that went out, so if you grabbed a box, be sure take time, run and get it. If you're thinking, I can't find that box, it's lost. The kids have used it for something else. Go buy one of those plastic totes and you can fill it up and then bring it back that way. But this is a great ministry here. I thank God for the opportunity to get to speak this morning. I appreciate Pastor Grant giving me this opportunity. And I hope and pray that in some way God will touch your heart, your life. If you're lost, we would truly want to see you get saved. If you're struggling, I'd like to see your spirit uplifted today, that God would give you the strength that you need. And just be mindful of this season that we're going into. And we're gonna read in the book of Luke, the second chapter. Going to read the 25th through the 38th verse. If you don't care, stand for the honor of reading God's word. And we'll get right into the message this morning. So it's Luke 2, 25 through 38. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was a righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, this opportunity to get to stand, Lord. I pray that your word would pierce the hearts of everyone that's here, Father, that whatever the need and the situation, that you would provide that. If someone be lost, that they would be saved this morning. Father, uplift our spirits, Lord, as we go into this season, Lord Father, of Thanksgiving and Christmas, Lord, that we would truly remember what it's all about, Lord Father, and that we would be a more thankful people and to praise you and give you honor for all things. Lord, I understand the strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word, and I accept that responsibility. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So the next couple of weeks after we finish with the book of Acts here, we're going to start thinking and preparing our hearts and mind for the season that's coming up and being more thankful. I'm sure as you listen here that reading about Simeon and Anna here, I do believe that they were very thankful people. They actually got to see salvation. And it's amazing. When I say see salvation, they actually got to see baby Jesus as he was brought in, as the custom was to bring him into the temple there. They actually got to see that. I mean, can you just imagine? They got to see baby Jesus, okay? It's pretty exciting. And what was the great thing about it is Simeon was promised by the Holy Spirit, was told, before you die, you will get to see baby Jesus. So his whole life, he was going anticipating with excitement and with joy of getting to see this baby Jesus before he passed away. I'm going to give you a few numbers here of some things, and start thinking about this season and the things that are going on. And this is just on average. I've done some numbers just to kind of give you guys a look of where we spend a lot of our time. So on average, this 365 days a year, on average, Americans spend a total of 84 days at work. And that's just an 8-hour day. That's not talking to people that put in a 10 or a 12 hour. So 84 days out of that 365 is all spent at work. Okay? It's the same thing for if you get 8 hours of sleep. You spend 84 days sleeping as well. That's a lot of days. That knocks a lot of days out there just like that. You know how many days we spend surfing the web and online? 52 days out of the year. So on average, somebody takes about 24 hours a week that they spend online somewhere. That's a lot of time that we spend online. You know how much time out of that 365 days, how many days we spend at church? Saying if you go to church on Wednesday, and I kind of just factored in 2 hours of service, 2 hours on Wednesdays, 2 hours on Sunday, just 9 days. So as you can see, as we're getting into the season, it's always the hustle and the bustle of what consumes our time and what consumes our mind out here and where we're at. And I believe that strategically God placed us in these places for a reason. And as we go through this, just like Simeon and Anna here, I think there's a reason that he's put you in those places that he has. But we can't forget why he's placed you there. And always be mindful and thankful with anticipation and excitement. How many, honestly, I want honest, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. How many of you all anticipated and was excited about coming to church this morning? Anybody want to raise their hand? God bless all of those hands, okay? And you know, and that's the way we need it. We get excited about so many things in life. That's one thing that sometimes that we lack on is we don't get that excitement and that zeal inside of us of, I get to go to church. Because, yeah, think of it. So the Holy Spirit usually comes through and comes and sits with us and worships with us and is here with us. And it's an amazing thing to think that the Holy Spirit, the being of the Holy Spirit, it's like having Jesus here and like having God here. So the presence of God is amongst us. Jesus is amongst us. God the Father is amongst us. And what the Holy Spirit, he said, okay, I'll go away, but guess what? I'll send you a comforter. I'll send you a comforter. I hope that when you walk in the church this morning, if you were upset or you were mad or you were down, I hope your spirit has already been uplifted because we got to sing worship and praise songs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to the Father up on high. And that should get you excited and anticipate about what's going on. So preparing our hearts and mind for this season. And how do we do that? By giving thanks for salvation. How often do you get down and say, thank you, Lord, for salvation? Thank you, Lord, for salvation. It should be every opportunity that you take a time to pray that you should thank the Lord for salvation. Because without it, this wouldn't be any good. This would just be all in vain without salvation. Without Jesus coming, this would just be a gathering of people getting together and becoming friends and hanging out and eating a lot of food. That's all it would be without this being of Jesus and Jesus coming by into this world. And with anticipation and excitement about Jesus coming to this world. So Simeon was about 200 years old when he finally got to see Jesus. And Anna had said here she was 84 years old. So they were up in age. I'm going to ask some of you that are older in here. You don't have to give up your age or so. I may just ask Grant because he's the oldest one in here, right? No. So some of you, how many of y'all, honestly, are you really looking forward to when Jesus comes back as you get older? Do you look forward to that a more for some of you all with age? You just anticipate. You're like, I want to stay here, but I know there's a better place to go to. I know. And always there's a song, sweeter each day, sweeter each day, how it gets sweeter each day. And honestly, being 42 now, I'm starting to transition more to a mind. It gets sweeter every day. And it could be any day that Jesus comes back to take us home. Any day. You know, we're not promised to live to be old, but if you're blessed to be an old individual, then it's a blessing in itself because of just the anticipation of, man, Jesus coming back. He's coming back and becomes more real to us. So at a younger age, let that be more real to you. Anticipate the excitement of Jesus returning, because at the end, guess what? We're all winners. If you're saved by the grace of God, we're winners either way. If I go, if I stay. Okay, I may get on a lot of old hymnals this morning and talk about them, because they tell us a lot of good stories about living our life out and being that person that God wants us to be. Can you honestly look at your life and say, guess I am, I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way. It doesn't matter. I go through hard times, but guess what? I'm a winner either way. And having that attitude of that. But three things really stuck out to me about Anna and Simeon here. And one of the characteristics that stuck out, it was about being available. Okay, so we think of our life and how hectic it is. It's always get it done, get it done, get it done. I'm a list person. There's lists. I've got lists galore. And if I don't get that list done, I think my day wasn't successful because I didn't get that list done. We overwhelm ourselves. It's all got to be done. It's all got to be done. And when in reality, if we just step back, say, listen, Lord's got this. He's going to take care of this in his time and his way. Don't allow that to control our life and us anticipating. Because most people, they're anxious every day. It's not they're anxious because, hey, I'm one day closer to see Jesus, but they're anxious because they're knowing, how can I get it all done? How am I going to be able to get it all done? Well, this season, in these next couple weeks, let's just transition our hearts and mind of being available for God. Simeon and Anna, they were able to see God's salvation, and was it because they were willing to hear God's message. They were willing, you know, the Holy Spirit talked to Simeon. He could have said, yeah, whatever, I'm out of here. But he was available and willing to hear. Do you think Simeon probably had things that he had to do and was busy as well? You know, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did, but he made himself available. And just like Anna here, you know, she was a widow. She made herself available, said she was there daily, fasting and praying in the anticipation that the redemption of Jerusalem was going to come. This baby Jesus was going to come, and she was excited about that. Excited about that. Be excited about what God is sending our way, the many things that he wants us to go in. When we say 84 days at work, it shouldn't be 84 days at work. Oh, goodness gracious. It should be 84 days of work. I get to share Jesus with people at work that I go in. And I'm not talking about throwing the Bible at them, but I'm just taking that smiling, being nice, being a joyful person, looking forward to that day that Jesus is going to come. Because he may come back while you're there at work. He may come back. So just anticipating and being excited here. They devoted their life to God. Do you know something that's a game changer? Seeing salvation. That's a game changer for everybody. Seeing. So when I say a game changer, it's for Simeon and Anna. It was a game. This was what they had looked for their whole life, was Jesus coming into the temple and them to being able to see that. And it was a game changer for them because it put a drive in them to go and to go. So a game changer for us in our life. If you're saved, the game changer is Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. We ought to look forward to that. He's coming back to take us home. And the game changer for you that are sitting here this morning that may not know Jesus and need to experience this relationship with him is that Jesus came to this earth to die for you and I. Not only did he come, he was resurrected on the third and appointed day so that you could receive this wonderful gift of salvation. So salvation, when we begin to see it, is a game changer with our attitude, because we ought to be a people that has an attitude of gratitude and not a people that look at things that, oh, I dread this, I dread this. Okay, be a joyful person and look for what God has said. So in verse 25, it says that Simeon was a righteous and devout. And in verse 27, it says that he was guided by the Spirit. It says that Anna worshiped, prayed, and fasted night and day in the temple. So every day, every night, she was there. She was there. She was there. She was an older lady. So when I think about being Simeon's age, I'm like, dude, that's old. That's old. But I think God was using Simeon as an example for the others around him, okay? He was using him, and he was going to get his glory out of saying, the Holy Spirit promised this individual that Jesus would be coming, okay? And here's what God can do in an individual and show them, that just the anticipation. I don't think Simeon walked into the temple each time that he was there just like, yeah, Jesus is going to come. He's going to come. It's kind of like walking into church. Yeah, I guess Jesus is going to show up here this morning. He might be here this morning. Oh, there's Jesus passing by. You know, I think there was some excitement and some zeal about that hey, he was passing by. And that's what we ought to be. We ought to be a people that are thankful that salvation has come our way. Thankful that salvation. So Simeon, he just didn't praise God and praise God there. He also prophesied. He told Mary and Joseph, this is the one that's going to die and to save the world. He's going to save the world. And it's amazing of the excitement that he has. So being available, are you available to God or are you too busy? Do you have to put God on your schedule somewhere? Yeah, I'll talk to God here and I'll talk to God there. I did a survey with our youth one time back here, and I asked them, I said, just be honest, how many of y'all really actually pray throughout the week? And the sad thing is about it, we had about two people that were honest. You know, the sad thing is the majority of them said that no, we don't pray. We don't pray. So what I told them, I said, you know how you get those notifications, those reminders? Set it on your phone. If that's what it takes for you to get close to the, set a notification. Hey, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. Because sometimes we need to be prodded along and reminded. So be a praying individual. Be someone that sits down with the Word of God, that understands the Word of God, that prays and that gets excited about it's time to pray. Hopefully the first thing that you do when you get up after you had your coffee, amen, you go to a time where you can pray. You talk to me before coffee, and Beelzebub comes out. After my coffee, I'm ready to go, okay? I'm ready to talk to the Lord and ready to meditate and get ready to go. Just saying, okay? So it has its effect on me. I think I'm drinking the Holy Spirit as I begin to pray and drink my coffee, of course, with my creamer. Being available to God. So be available to Him during this season. As we go into, don't get caught up in, I've got to get this person this present. I've got to get that person that present. The best present that you could give a pastor, show your excitement. Show that you're anticipating that Jesus is going to show up today. Showing that you're anticipating that His coming, He's going to be returning. That salvation has joined us, is among us. Show that. That's the best gift that you can get, to be a people that goes out and makes the other disciples and goes out and spreads the Word of God through a box to other nations. That's exciting. So be anticipating that. Be available. And the second thing that we've seen about Anna and Simeon here is they were looking forward with a hope. So when you look at your life, when you look forward at your life, do you look at it as, okay, I've just got another day, or it's just another day, or it's the dreaded Monday, or do you look forward with a hope? There was a drive in them that sent them there. Can you imagine going to the temple every day and staying there day and night praying and fasting as this woman did here? Can you imagine that? I mean, just how hard that is on an individual and on a body to be able to do that, to go every day. The drive is because God had put something in her that made her full of life. She was looking forward with a hope. When you live your life, are you living your life of doom and gloom and it's just another day? And a lot of people go to sleep to escape their day. A lot of people will resort to things. They'll go to alcohol and drugs and things just to try to escape this world. And it's because they're not looking forward with a hope and being thankful that God has truly blessed us and having a thankful heart. Simeon said he's looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He had big expectations for the future. He saw salvation. He knew that he was going to see salvation. And there was an excitement and a zeal in his heart. If you're saved, Somebody shouldn't have to cheer you on about getting excited for Jesus. If you're lost, I want to cheer you on that salvation is the best gift that you could ever receive this morning. And you will experience a season, this holiday season, like you've never experienced before if you come and receive this wonderful gift of salvation. You hear it called salvation. You hear it called relationship. You hear it called being born again. Here's the way I look at it. I was over here and I was filthy and dirty and sinful. And Jesus called me out and I stepped out into a new life because of his blood. He covered me with his blood. He died for me. It was resurrected again so I might receive life in this life. You will not experience living. You will not know when you get around the table and there's a spread of food. You will not truly be able to be thankful for that stuff until you get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Until you experience this change in your life. It's not just a mind change. It was a heart change. I can change my mind every day about things, but that doesn't do any good. But once you have something that really tugs and gets a hold of your heart and pulls you and says, this is the Lord of all Lords speaking to you and drawing you to an altar of prayer. I'm always cautious with people when they just come down and they're just saying, yeah, I got saved. And I just ask them about it. Well, I just know it's the right thing to do. Don't come because it's the right thing to do, but come because you're broken and God has broken you down and he's convicted your heart and there's a drawing to come to an altar of prayer and to receive a gift of salvation. What's the best gift that you can receive? Jesus. Jesus. Looking forward with a hope. They're living their life with a hope. They were anxious and anticipating this Lord and Savior, this Jesus, this baby Jesus of coming. Don't get stuck. A lot of times I hear people say, especially they get up in age and stuff, well, I remember the good old days. I remember the good old days. And it makes it sound like that there's nothing good that's going on right now. I remember the good old days. Well, I remember the good old days too. And I don't like living in that house that had no running water, that I could see the ground on the floor, and that mom told me to stay out of the floor because these rats that would carry on. They were good old days, but the good old days are on past. I've got a future ahead of me because of what Christ did for me. So the good old days, yeah, they were good. We learned a lot from them, but don't live in the past. Well, I remember when the church house used to be full and you had to open the windows up and then the singing would go out and it would be glory, hallelujah, fire on the mountain. Well, it's still like it. Jesus ain't changed. We have. Jesus ain't changed a bit. At least, needless to say, we don't have any windows in here. Okay? But we can open up the doors if we need to. We can live stream if we need to. We can get the word out there if we need to. So let's make the good old days today. Let's make it today. Let's live with looking forward with a hope and a joy and a peace because the good old days, I'll not be able to talk about the good old days if I don't make them today. Make them today. Make a memory today. I promise you, your kids, they're a part of this Playmakers thing. They will remember that. I asked my wife about Christmas plays. She said, yeah, I can remember them to the T, and I do still know my lines. It has an impact on their lives when we invest and pour into the kids because we have a future of hope and of joy in us, and we want to instill that in our kids so that they can remember how good Jesus has really been to them. I've got one daughter that's saved. I've got one that's right on the brink. I know it. And I'm waiting just for the right time that God convict her heart, that she comes pouring her heart out to God. Why do we do what we do? And I do it for my kids. And guess what? I'll do it for your kids too. I'll pray for them because there's a hope of the future. And the only reason we've got a hope is because of what Jesus has done. There's a hope. So be available to God. Look at your future as a hope. And there's a hope because of what Jesus done for you. And if you've not been saved, receive this wonderful gift of salvation. Too often we live a life that has been defeated. We're defeated. We've been defeated by things of this life. Well, this has got me. The bad test results. The alcohol the policeman showing up at your home, giving you a report that you just didn't want to hear. And we live our life defeated, thinking all these miserable things have going on. Where is a God? Where is he at? Well, you know something that Simeon did? Him and Anna had something that they did that was very powerful. They showed faith in how they lived their life in anticipation. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to put our trust and hope in the true Savior of a living God. We've got to put our hope and trust where our life doesn't look defeated, but we have victory because of what Jesus has done. They saw salvation. They saw hope for a future. They saw a Savior coming that was going to redeem, that was going to save all across, even the Gentiles. He was going to save the whole world. There's a Savior coming. What if you were the one that was promised? That you'll see Jesus before you die. Just think of the excitement, because I'm anticipating for Jesus to come back while I'm alive. I just am. He didn't tell me when he was coming back, but he said he was coming back. The same Savior that left, the same Savior that in the eastern skies, if you'll just look close enough, he's coming back. And it gives me a hope and a peace and a joy to know that I may be alive, but if I'm dead, guess what? I don't care, because the dead in Christ will rise because of what Jesus has done. When he comes to take his bride home, I'll be among the ones that he'll take home, not because anything that any of us have done, because of what God has done. Because he sent a Savior to this world. And this is what Simeon and Anna was anticipating and excited about. There was a hope. They got to see salvation. They were looking forward to their future with hope and anticipation that Jesus was going to come by. So they were available. They looked forward to the future. And guess what? They had to trust God. They had to trust God. In verse 29, it says, you will notice that Simeon attributed his sense of peace to God. After seeing Jesus, Simeon praised God for the salvation that God had prepared for all the peoples. No matter, and guess what? No matter how hard we try, no matter how smart we are, no matter how much money that we've got, you know that we can't find peace in all of those things. We can't find peace in our money. We can't find a peace in all the things that we're doing. But we may be intellectually really smart. There'll still be a longing down in your heart that there's just something missing. There's just something that is just not there. And you look at your life and you say, I've got a nice house. I've got a beautiful family. I've got all these things that are naturally speaking what the world would say, that, hey, you've got a pretty good life. But then if you don't have salvation, you still sit back thinking there's more to this. And this morning you may be that individual that's sitting back. There's just more to this than what I can realize. But trusting in God this morning and you listening and being available and looking for a future of hope. We can't be good enough to make it to heaven. I know a lot of good people. You just can't be good enough. I know people that give everything. Man, they'll just give their time. They'll give food. They'll give money. But just by doing those things, that doesn't automatically let them receive a ticket that, hey, you're going to heaven because you're just a good person. You're just a good person. There's a lot of good people that died and went to hell. There's a lot of good people that did. Don't be one of those good people, but receive and understand as we go into this season, being thankful that Jesus has come, as the Savior has come, that you are here this morning, not by any accident whatsoever. But I believe by the grace of God, he sent you here this morning to receive a message from him that you might receive this wonderful gift of salvation. The only way to see salvation is to trust in God. Simeon had to trust. Anna had to trust. They had to trust in God that his plan was perfect. And no matter, do you think Simeon had some bad days in his life? The dude was 200 years old. Don't you think he probably had a couple bad days? But he didn't give up. Here's a widow woman that had lost her husband, but still prayed and fasted and had a joy in her heart that this Savior of the world was coming. Yeah, they had to continue to do life. They had to still be in this world, and I'm sure there were hard days that they had to face. But they lived it with being available, looking to the future with hope, and trusting God's plan. Not their way, but God's way. See Simeon sitting back. Don't you think, God, after 100 years, you'd sure send him? I've been here 100 years now. So that prayer that you've been praying about, that thing that you've been longing for to see over and over and over, don't give up. Look to it as hope that if God promised Simeon here that he would see the baby Jesus and it took 200 years, don't you think that he can come through with your prayer as well? He can let you receive something that's so wonderful and great that you've never been able to experience, that you are able to say yes. So walking around living a life of hope, joy, peace, and love. When you look at your neighbor, do you look at your neighbor with, man, that's an opportunity? Or do you look at your neighbor saying, that neighbor's dog's in my yard, it needs to get out? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, how do you look at that? How do you, so when you're looking at opportunities when you're at the grocery store, opportunities when you're at work, opportunities when you're with your family. Most of you only spend a couple hours with your family a year because Thanksgiving and Christmas you'll get together. Hey, I love you, but I know we're dysfunctional. And Jesus loves you too. It's the reality of it. But let's go into this season with a new vision and a new mind and a new heart to saying, I'm going to live for Christ and I'm going to be excited and I'm going to anticipate of what God's doing and how he's moving amongst us. Do you realize that God is always there? Even in your loss, God is there. Even in your trouble, God is there. Do you know you may have to go through something because God is just trying to prepare you for something else? This widow lady, she lost her husband, and there's been some in here that have lost a spouse. And God continues to push you through time and time again. Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting my spouse on the other side, but guess what? God's got me here for a purpose. God's got me here for a reason. God wants me to anticipate and to share this good news with others that I'm around. Looking at it with a different mindset, do you know your attitude dictates a lot of things? Your attitude dictates a lot of things. If you're always negative, you'll always see negative things. If you are a positive, happy individual, in the negative times, you'll still be able to dig down deep and be a positive, happy individual. Simeon Anna here was a good example. So at this season of life, this holiday season, Thanksgiving next Thursday, Christmas coming up in December, let's change our mind. Let's change our attitude. Let's change our focus to be a focus of thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're here with us. Your presence is here with us, that we're still alive and get the opportunity. Don't be in a season of doom and gloom and negative and searching and wondering which direction. Everything's so bad in my life. Everything's so bad in my life. Well, friend, I'd love for you to go overseas and sit by one of these little children's. We'll see how bad we've got it. I'll guarantee you, we'd walk in here with a different outlook. A different perspective, a different mindset, an attitude of gratitude saying, God has blessed me as an individual. He's blessed my family. He's given me a roof over my head. He's given me food to eat. He's given me a family. He's given me a mind to be able to understand his presence coming on. You know, a lot of people lose their mind in this world. What a sad state to be able to lose your mind in this world. And there's a lot of people that suffer. You know family. You've got family that does that. That's having to go through something like that. So having a mind to know that Jesus is here. And he's amongst us. And he wants you to be available. He wants you to live with hope. And he wants you to trust him because his plan is perfect. So with your perspective this morning, is your perspective like Simeon and Anna's here? Do you have a thankful heart? Do you have an anticipation? Do you have an excitement about you walking around? We'll get a new vest and I'll walk into church like this. We ought to walk into church with our head held high, with our Bibles held up, because Jesus is coming. Let me give you this perspective right here. Do you know that Anna, her and Simeon saw baby Jesus as baby Jesus, and we get to see him as a risen Savior? What a quite different perspective that we have on this now. That they've seen him as a Jesus, as a Redeemer and a Savior of the world, but we've seen him as a risen Savior that's came to deliver us and to give us a hope and a joy, that gave his life that you and I might have the opportunity to sit right here this morning, and that someone else might have the opportunity to come and receive this wonderful gift of salvation. What's heaven going to be like? I'm asked that question all the time. What's heaven going to be like? Most of the time before the end of the conversation, I'm just like, dude, I don't know. I do know one thing, though. God will be on his throne, and wherever Jesus is at, that's where you'll find me. Because he'll be right with his Father, praising his God, the Father above. I'll be right there. That's where I'll be. What's it going to be like? Is there going to be streets of gold? Will we be working over there? What kind of mansion will we have? How many jewels will we have in our crown? We can get in all these discussions, but all I know is there's something that I had to get taken care of here on this side before we ever think about that side. What's heaven going to be like? There'll be no sorrow there. There'll be no more burdens to bear. There'll be no sickness, no more pain, no more partying over there. What a day, a glorious day that will be. So in 5 minutes, if Jesus decides to sweep on down here to this earth and take us back in the clouds of glory, if he decides to do that, who's going? Who's going with me? There's some of you here that couldn't clap. They couldn't raise your fist. They couldn't raise your hands. And man, what we want you to experience this morning is far better than any gift that we could ever get, any gift that your parents or your grandparents could wrap up and give you. It's far better than any of that stuff. You say, well, my life's been hard. Well, join the club. If God's so good, why would he have done these things? I've asked the same question before. But all those questions are fine to ask of God. That's what he expects, because we live in a sinful world. We live in a world that wants to reject God. But glory be to God, we've got a Savior that came to redeem the whole world so we could receive this wonderful gift of salvation. And that's what he wants you to have this morning. So before you leave here, what I want you to be able to say is, yeah, if he comes back in 5 minutes, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. So if you need to receive this wonderful gift of salvation, if you need to give him praise this morning, there'll be a time of invitation that God will give you. And you know what I love about an altar? We don't talk about it enough. You know what I love about it? We brought these out the other day because we moved them because of the stage. And I don't know if you haven't taken a look at these altars or not. But the unique thing about these altars, Grant, is there's tear stains on them. I don't want to wash them off or wipe them down. There's tear stains on these altars. If you've not seen them, you need to check them out. Because somebody's prayers was answered through those teardrops. Somebody was able to receive peace and contentment and joy through those teardrops. And maybe this morning you can receive through the same old teardrops, this gift of salvation, or just a gift of praise, and say, God, thank you. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for giving us this plan of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, this opportunity. Lord, I pray this morning that with all of our hearts, Lord, and hearts and minds together, that if there's someone here that needs to receive this gift of salvation, that they'd come down to an altar and we'll meet them here and pray with them, Lord Father, that they can really understand this hope that we talk about, this trust that we talk about in having in you. Father, that you would just convict them this morning. And Lord, if there's others here this morning that are battling with things, that are struggling with things, that are just having a hard time being thankful because of what they're having to go through at this moment in their life, this storm that they're facing, I pray, God, that you just speak to them, that they could come down and rejoice on this altar this morning, knowing that you are a Lord and Savior that will deliver and that will be there for us. Help us to have a better perspective and anticipation and an excitement about us, knowing that we've seen you as a risen Savior. In your holy, sweet, precious name we pray.